An hour ago, I was talking with Dr. Alex van der Heever of WITS about hospitals and hospital mismanagement and hospital corruption, and he was speaking about the broader point of hospitals in 8 of the 9 provinces, excluding the Western Cape, how poorly they are led, how the decision-making processes of who gets appointed are poor, so the wrong people without the right skills are being appointed. They are appointing people without the skills and for the wrong reasons. And as a result, patient care suffers and financial care suffers. And the Eastern Cape is a prime example of that. There has been an ongoing series on Daily Maverick's Citizen section about state hospitals in the Eastern Cape. And very involved in the production of that is Estelle. I know your name so well. I read it every morning and it makes me smile and it makes me cry occasionally. Not your name, what you write makes me cry. Senior journalist at Maverick Citizen. And, I mean, the picture that you and your colleagues are painting of public health care in the Eastern Cape, boy, it's not a pretty one.
No, it's a terrible one. And, you know, even if you take into account that we're working with a system that's recovering from COVID-19, so to speak, it seems that the system is now so weak and so damaged that we really fear for that right to healthcare that people need to access. And, you know, look, it's not a thing you can close down and fix and open up again. That I think, is the problem, is that it's something that must keep running. But the wheels are coming off in the Eastern Cape.
And the one of the examples that you quote, in a hospital, in a cardiac ICU, doctor keeping a patient on life support with nothing but a generator and a power cord, because there's nothing else. Everything is gone. It's broken. It's been stolen. It hasn't been replaced. And your latest article, a particular focus, is staff shortages with, the way you describe it, is doctors resigning on an unprecedented scale. You say, there are a lot of doctors who work in the public health sector who are incredibly dedicated to their vocation. But I suppose you reach a point at where you say, I can't any longer.
Yes, so I think my I've been doing this for the better part of the last decade, and I've done this investigation many times. And, you know, we always came to the conclusion that things are really bad, the budget's horrible, the planning is terrible, the issue bureaucracy is killing the place, but for the doctors. But, you know, COVID, I think, it has weakened our clinicians. A lot of them have left. A lot of them have post-traumatic stress. And pardon the word, but I think a lot of them are now just hurtful, you know. They need to deal with so much. Now, when doctors tell you that they need to push their patients to the ward, it's not because they think it's above them, but it's because it's taking them 10 minutes to do it and they could see another person in that time. You know, the sort of psychiatric ward that is not well run, that's a huge problem. It puts so many people with emergency medicine's lives at risk. The lack of equipment, the lack of medicine, the lack of something like an implant to fix a broken bone, you know, something like clean linen. Then you've got all the doctors lined up. I can't remember if we kept that in the story, but in one single day, we had the 4 senior orthopedic surgeons and their 4 assistants all ready to go, scrubbed up. There was no linen for the theatre, so that another day got lost. You know, so that's my fear, is that the doctors are, because they were crucial in keeping the system going, and they were, along with the nurses, definitely. And now you sort of get the feeling that they are at the end of their tethers.
So what you've got is you've got these staff shortages, you've got broken equipment, you've got basic drugs that aren't available, you've got significant delays in emergency surgery. It becomes almost scheduled surgery rather than emergency surgery, what it needs to be. You've got a brain drain of specialist doctors, you've got operating times which have been slashed, you've got a lack of nurses, and you've got a sharp rise in the death rate of babies that have just been born. I mean, that really is...
Yeah.
an utterly, utterly chaotic and unacceptable situation. But hey, that's what's happening. And where are the signs? Where, this is where you need to tell me, don't worry, John, although the situation is dire, X, Y, and Z are happening. And you know what? I'm quietly confident that things will be better, but I don't think I'm going to hear that from you.
No. I myself am looking for hope. I think, look, I think our public health staff will go as far as they can to keep things, to keep doors open and to keep things open. But we need significant intervention. And the thing in the government toolbox is to put a department under administration, which I think in the 10 years I've covered health in the Eastern Cape, this department's been under administration 3 times. It clearly doesn't help. You know, I think they either need to start rationalizing services. And I think in my conversations with a lot of clinicians, that's the answer, to say, you know, let's just check expectations, to say, this is what we're able to offer, and this is what we're not able to do. And, you know, the problem is people will seek maybe medical health care in the Western Cape, and that just makes waiting lists longer. Also, you know, it depletes resources there. So that's the problem. Is people from the Eastern Cape, also it costs money to travel and you have nowhere else to go. I'm not sure how great the planning is going with the Eastern Cape. For example, Director Communication of Communications Director Sianda Manana last night said to me, oh no, we mustn't worry about the ICU because they are going to start an ICU with 40 beds. Now, that is a massive ICU. But these are the same people who are not able to keep a 16-bed ICU going. So, you know, it might be unreasonable, but isn't the first step to just say, let's just restore all 16 beds to the ICU before we go and open or find a way to do a 40-bed ICU, because the staff needed for that is so crucial, it's so important. And so hard to find, that now to say what we're aiming for 40 beds, I mean, if you can't keep a 12 bed thing going, that makes no sense to me whatsoever.
A lot of things don't make any sense to us, Estelle, but unfortunately, but thank you very much. A depressing picture, but we can't ignore these realities. Estelle Ellis is a senior journalist at Maverick Citizen.